Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, just call 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM.
How's it going, Beans? It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while. Anyway,
it's been a week.
I know, but it feels like it's been a long week.
It's a week almost every
long
time.
Long week. It's almost a week every week.
I don't
week.
Know. It's been a short week.
Has it?
Yeah. I got
really?
Christmas parties are way? Coming up and everything. It's just like things. I find that the Christmas season flies by. And
Are you alluding to the song that we're playing? I just can't quit.
Can't quit Christmas. I feel like I'm like
look at
6 feet underground with this chair.
You actually are pretty low to the ground there. So
like I'm short already, and then I got sitting on.
Okay, we're gonna fade out the vaccines. Get on here. I Can't Quit by the Vaccines. If you're looking up that one, everybody, we are here live at the Hockey Show 101.5 UMFM. Happy to have along a young lady who is sitting down at mic number 4. How are you, young lady?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, happy to have Carissa Kirkup of the Manitoba Bison women's hockey team with us here tonight. Lots to talk about. Actually, lots to talk about from her point of view as well, because she's been doing a lot of awesome stuff lately. You might not think so because you've been doing it, but that's all right. let's jump in. Let's have some fun with it. Pretty good first half of the season, I'd say, for you guys. You're 2 points off the race, which, according to Rob Voth, when we had him on a few weeks ago, said he wanted to be within 3 points of first place. So you guys are kind of right on target, although I know that Sean wasn't very happy about dropping a couple points to Saskatchewan there. But at the same time, you're still well within striking range. How are you feeling about the first half?
You know what? I think we had a great first part of the year here. I obviously, as a player in my last year, I couldn't have asked for anything else, I think.
Okay.
We had a few tough games, and leading into those weekends, we knew they were going to be tough. Obviously, those same very, very competitive teams are always on our radar going into the year. But I think I'm pretty happy with where we're sitting right now. Obviously, I know Alberta had that makeup game there on that Sunday. So leading into that Sunday, we were tied with them, or we were in first technically there. So. I think going into the second half, we're sitting pretty, it's good.
10-3-2-1, 35 points. You guys are actually, if we're looking at totals right now, you guys are slightly ahead of where you were last year as well. So when you guys finished first. So not a bad start by any means in terms of what's going on. We talked to Jason Pajak a little bit about it last week. Do you want to know some of the crazy trends that you guys have to fight against in the second half?
Yeah, bring it on here. Well, I don't know if I do or not.
Here are the stats that you need to worry about. I mean, there's some that are in here that you're just going to go, oh my God, that's crazy. But you guys will play Lethbridge in Lethbridge.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Lethbridge over the last three seasons in the second half of the season have amassed a 4-26-2-4 record. Including a 119-0-4 record over the last two seasons.
Okay.
The only team they've beaten is Calgary in the second half in two years.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that.
So we can work with that.
I'm assuming that you're going to continue that trend. Yeah, that would be nice in terms of getting everything going.
That's the plan. Yes.
Calgary's had a pretty bad drop off as well. They were 110-1 last year in the second half.
Okay.
So again, you guys won't see them. You guys have played them twice already. You guys have beaten them all four times. So that was good in terms of getting that going. So brace for them. Good for them. Whatever they have to do.
Yep.
Regina, who you guys will see here on home ice, which will be good, in the third week of January, I believe it is. 3-13-4-4 in their last two seasons.
On the road?
Second half. In the second half.
Oh, in the second half. Okay.
So I'm assuming that Sarah's going to want to try and change that.
So who's winning all these games?
Here's the rest of them.
Yeah.
Mount Royal, who hasn't had a bad setup. They were actually 4-6-1-1 against everybody else so far this season. They have basically double that amount. They are, they have a winning percentage, excuse me, a points percentage of 0.472 over the last two seasons. So so they're winning basically half their games in the second half. So Mountain Royal's got a chance to move up. UBC, which basically has been your most consistent team throughout the last three seasons, they are at about a 61% points percentage. So you guys will get to play them here on home ice, second last weekend of the season. Saskatchewan's not too bad either. They're rolling along fairly consistently as well. It's Alberta. Alberta's the team that has ruined a couple of seasons for you guys. Including one where you guys were in second place and they beat you on the last weekend of the season three seasons ago to knock you to third place.
Yes, I remember clearly, actually.
Yes, yep. You guys went 8-3-0-1. They went 10-0-0-1 in that season. So the big trends you guys need to worry about, and here's where you can take these back to the team if you want and bulletin board them if you like. Any team that's reached December over the last three seasons in first place has remained in first place at the end of the season.
Wow.
Any team that's finished second over the last three seasons has finished third or lower. So you're fighting history here.
Okay.
And no team has moved up more than two places in the final standings from their December placement. So Saskatchewan, who currently is in fourth, would have to go on a major run to catch you guys, in other words.
Okay. Interesting. That's a lot of numbers.
It's a lot of numbers.
A lot of stats.
A lot of math,
Well, that's a fair bit of work you did there. Can't find
digging a few of those up, in terms of what's going on. So the nice part, though, is that you guys right now, in terms of goal differential, are second in the conference. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Alberta's had a ridiculous first half in terms of not only giving up 11 goals in 14 games. But in saying that, you guys are legitimately, 2 points behind them. It's not like it's out of question. You guys had a good run in terms of what happened in the first half there. You guys played well in Alberta, didn't score, unfortunately, but only got three goals scored again. So it's not like they blew you out. Is it different on home ice for you guys, though, when you guys play Alberta? Do you find going into Claire Drake Arena that it's a completely different animal when you go there?
I think our goal is definitely to end up ahead of them just so that we don't have to travel there. I think any team would rather play in their home barn just because you are playing with your home fans behind you, everything like that. So, I would, if I had to choose, yes, I would stay in Winnipeg 10 times out of 10. Yeah, that's your question. But also, I know that our team is capable of going there and beating them as well. So.
Well, you guys won 2 of 3 last year, obviously in the playoffs against them here. So, knock on wood, home ice. If you're coming out to see them first week of January, everybody get out and see them because they could certainly use the help. A little bit of crowd noise behind them, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things that you were up to, obviously. School, still going for you in terms of you being out on doing your whole getting into the school and getting into the whole practicum. How's the teaching career coming
along
here?
Honestly, it's been unreal.
Yeah.
I've had an awesome time so far. Fort Richmond Collegiate here in Winnipeg.
Right,
so it's 5 minutes from my house, 5 minutes from school. I couldn't have asked for a closer place anyways. So obviously, there's me and two other student teachers in the phys ed department. I'm phys ed and biology. I taught a respiration unit in biology, and
look at you.
Yeah.
Who's the phys ed teacher there?
There's seven.
who's one of them?
they're honestly, I've had to work with, I think I've got to work with four or five out of seven. I'm not sure exactly,
seven,
but
that's a lot of phys
ed. There's six main ones, and then there's a couple regular subs that they have.
Okay.
Keith Redfern, Gord Poulton, not ringing a bell. Okay,
no.
Ben Hodges, DeAndre Peters. She was the track team captain, I think, 7 or 8 years ago here for Bisons.
All right.
As well as Nicola Dirks. She played volleyball at U of W as well. And then Dan Poporecny as well. So I guess those aren't ringing a bell, but
little
that's all right.
Little turnover since you've been there.
Yeah.
I didn't go there.
Okay.
I have a cousin that teaches, and I thought she taught at Fort Richmond, but obviously not.
Miss McBay?
No.
No. Okay. Sorry.
Clearly not.
But
clearly
no,
not.
It's been an unreal experience so far. I've had a very good time there. They've been very helpful. I'm teaching quite a variety of subjects. In terms of phys ed, I've been teaching table tennis, anything from speed and agility, resistance training.
Have you found a new sport, in other words? You're going to be a table tennis pro?
Well, just wait for the last one here. So resistance training, athletic training, and then I'm actually now a yoga teacher.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
there you go.
No, it's actually, today is my fourth day at it. So
yeah,
open in a studio.
Yeah.
No, it's actually, it's a little bit of a learning curve, but honestly, I'll go to different classes or I'll hear my cooperating teachers talk about it, and I've learned a ton of information from them. So it's basically whether I can apply it or not, and go on there kind of confident there. So no, I've had a great time. They're serious when they need to be. They're always
you can
broken.
Do the dual sport if you want. Summer Olympics is table tennis. Winter Olympics can be hockey.
You could
excel. Look at you.
No, I teach it. That doesn't mean I can play.
No, okay. That's all right though. At least you're in there having fun. How are the kids? Are they good to work with? Yeah.
It's amazing actually, because everyone that asks me, oh, you're elementary, junior high, whatever, and no, I'm high school, and then they kind of, oh, geez, like, you know, so I'm, but no, I haven't had any problems. It's good. It's only been 6 years since I've been in high school, but it just seems a little bit different, and no, the kids have been awesome to work with. My classes are usually like fairly small numbers, and it's been a great time, so yeah.
You were south? Not too recently. Didn't you go see your brother play a little hockey?
Yeah.
As for those that aren't aware, Tyler Kirkup is currently playing for Bemidji State, mm-hmm. down with the Beavers, in terms of everything going on. How's he liking life south of the border there?
You know what? He's really starting to love it lately, I would say. He's doing extremely well in school, which is like very good to hear from back home.
Yeah, that's good.
He has that under control. He's really liking it. He rooms with Darby Gula, who played for Steinbeck Pistons mm-hmm. last year in the MJ. And then there's quite a few rookies. I think there's like 8 or 9 rookies that just came in this year. But no, he said nothing but good things about the leadership group there, and as well as the upperclassmen as well. So yeah, he's having a good time. He's in dorms, and obviously you have to battle as a freshman for different ice time and stuff like that, just because there are so many newbies coming in, right? But I went down last weekend. They played against Alabama Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to see him dress and play quite a bit both games.
Do you know who plays for Alabama Huntsville? Do you know any of the players on that team? Do you notice any of the players on that team? There's one pretty famous, or not, I guess he's not famous, but his dad certainly is.
Maybe if you say it.
His last name would be Joseph. His dad's name would be Curtis.
Oh, no, didn't notice that.
Curtis Joseph's kid plays at Alabama Huntsville. So yeah,
interesting.
So they got a couple. I mean, he doesn't play goaltender or anything. He's a regular player in terms of being, you know, whatever he plays. But yeah, he's out there in terms of getting that going. How does he like, I mean, obviously being from Verdun out in West Manitoba there, is he having a problem sort of living in Bemidji? Is there any changes, anything that he's noticed, anything that he doesn't like about the town? Again, not that I'm saying anything bad about the town, but
it's been a great experience so far. I would say it's a pretty big adjustment for him right now, just because, and he's getting used to it as the weeks go on here.
Sure,
but
yeah,
in the beginning, it was a big adjustment because he played Southwest, so he lived at home for his midget AAA years, and then he went on to play and make the team in Verdun for grade 12. Mm-hmm. So then he played his junior A career right at home, so he could stay at home. Continue to have his meals cooked for him. Not jealous or anything, but no, it's and then so he could have played one more year in Verdun this year, but he got the offer from Bemidji last year and decided to take that and further his career in with hockey in school. So adjustment, just because he's been out of school for 3 years and he's lived at home this entire time. So adding both those things into the chaos of a hockey schedule is a big thing in itself. So, but no, he's adjusted very well, and I was happy to see him last weekend. So.
Good. Yep. Sound like he had a good weekend as well in terms of everything that went on there with Bemidji. As they played really well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. I mean, I saw the pictures, a few of the pictures anyway. A few of the ladies yesterday were donating blood.
Yes,
which was awesome.
Yes,
you guys are doing a ton of stuff, charitable and community wise, over this whole December sort of period. Talk about some of the opportunities that you guys have sort of been involved with, just because, again, I think some of the stuff you guys are doing is rather remarkable. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our team has always kind of been very giving and involved in different charity work or different outreach programs, which is amazing to see. So this year, being on UMAC again myself, as a one of the chair people, someone approached me from, I forget what the organization is called right now, but basically to run and have our teams come out to an event called Hockey Gives Blood. And this
the Red Cross? Was it Red Cross? No. Some other?
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
We'll look it up. Yeah. That's fine.
That's okay. So, they approached UMAC, and it was more geared towards the men's and women's hockey teams, but it kind of started out when the Humboldt tragedy occurred, and it was kind of a way for the hockey community to give in such a way instead of just strictly money. It was to kind of help save lives around the world there. So of course, we jumped on the chance to get on board with that and help donate. There was a few girls that went out yesterday. Yesterday was the big day to go down. I think it was right beside the Health Science Center. So they did that, and it was awesome.
Canadian Blood Services looks like they were involved in terms of getting
yes,
going.
Okay,
so yeah,
yes. Yeah. So, I'm very, very proud of the girls, obviously, that went out there. Not everyone can make it because of exams and everything like that, but every little bit helps. So, yeah, it was awesome.
So you kind of you guys are doing you guys did the hampers this year. Mm-hmm. Have those gone out yet? Are they going to go out next week? Like when do they get distributed as well?
Yeah, so we're doing as a team, we split ourselves up into four different subgroups, I guess you can call it. Two are doing hampers for CanU families involved with the organization there, and then two are doing a hamper for people less fortunate families that are kind of related to Jen Rempel, just because she is a teacher at a school in the city here and connection she has there. So so we split ourselves up, and we're currently in the shopping stage of everything. We are donating anytime before December 23rd.
Okay.
In between December 19th and 23rd. We kind of want it as close as Christmas as possible, but as well, we know some people are from out of town and are leaving. So, so I don't think anyone has been delivered yet, but my group's doing shopping this weekend. And
all
this
right.
Week anyway, so that's all I know.
That's all right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Anything else that's going on for you guys in terms of, I mean, obviously, being the chair in terms of like, what else is happening for some of the athletes that are, I mean, are the, you know, volleyball teams doing something different? Are you guys sort of all banding together and doing everything together? Like, what are the other charitable organizations you guys are involved with then?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff we do throughout the year. I know in the month of December, it's obviously a very busy time, but I think all the athletes had an opportunity to go out and donate blood yesterday, as well as there was the men's home game last weekend, or their last home game here before Christmas. There was a similar idea of donating blood on that game day as well. So I know some people did that as well. Every team is doing at least one hamper. I know that.
Okay.
Adam Henry from the men's hockey team is somewhat of the contact person between CanU and Bison Sports. So he's kind of organized it in a way that we, like as a women's hockey team, will go to him, tell him, okay, we'll do two hampers for you. And then they provide turkeys, different things like that. And then we provide all the food and kind of organize it from our end. So I know every single Bison sports team is doing at least one hamper. So that's amazing in itself. And then as well, I know a lot of teams got out to Silo Mission again this year.
Okay, yeah.
Before Christmas time, I believe there were at least three or four different time slots where they you go down to Silo Mission, and then you have a chance to talk to lots of people there and hear stories and serve food as well. So, I've done it for the past few years. Just with my practicum, I wasn't able to do it this year, unfortunately, but I do something back in Brandon anyway. So,
It's not lost. That's okay.
It's a great opportunity. I saw some pictures from there as well, and I think they had a great time again this year. I think for the most part that's kind of it for December, but moving along, we kind of we're always involved in Bison Book Buddies, and then as well Bisons Against Bullying. Those are our two main outreach programs under the Athletic Council, so those are definitely continuing into the new year as well. So,
right on.
Yeah,
lots of stuff going on though. That's good.
Yeah always lots.
I gotta ask you, because I don't know if anybody has, and I know that you were featured on it. What's it like being a first half highlight for the entire sports program?
Oh, there's lots of nice plays.
There certainly were. Yeah.
No,
you were featured in one of them though. So
Yeah, I don't even know. Though, even I, though I, love
even, I was going to say, even though Regina has no clue what your name is, but that's okay.
Marissa.
I know.
Yeah, it wasn't me, so there you go. Marissa Kirkup. Interesting. Never heard that one.
It's all right. You're doing a good job.
You know what? I'll say that I do love playing against Regina because of certain old teammates on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll say that.
That's all right. Nothing wrong against with that in terms of, yeah, of, you know, lighting them up and making an example out of a few players. That's okay as well. looking at some of the players though that have actually been picked up, I'm surprised, but Regina's just stacking their team with Westman players. So
They love Westman players, and it's very nice to see.
For some reason, it seems like Sarah's got five or six every year. So.
Yep. I know, I've noticed that too. Lots of I'll go back at Christmas time and talk to people throughout the year, and and they're always U of R is always talking to them, and you know, it's good for our girls. Like I know for Westman girls, anyways, but for some reason, me and Amy Lee are kind of the
the two breakaways.
Westman girls that come to Bison's.
We're not complaining. I'm just saying that it seems like it's again. Paige Hubbard will be going there next year.
Yeah.
Rachel O'Toole will be going there next year. And then I didn't even realize this, but it was announced the other day, I guess, that Kayla Powell from Pembina Valley is going there as well. So,
oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't until I looked it up and sort of found some information. I was like, what?
Yeah. Wow.
How is that possible?
No, yeah, they do like Westman girls out there, and they've had success out there. So, I mean, why not keep going?
Yeah, they've got a few high scorers from there. So, anything else that we should know about your first half of the year? Because you've been busy and you've done a lot of stuff. Nothing else that comes to mind? No, nothing else that pops up?
Personally, no, I don't think so. No, I've had a great first half of my last year. It's been a lot of fun in the dressing room, I'll say that. No, we're having a great time on
good.
The team. So.
Good. That's important.
Yep. No, I don't think... In terms of, I've been pretty busy at school, I'll say that. It's more of a full-time job, and like, especially during biology and stuff like that, come home and then prep for the next day, study for the next day to teach it. And, no, it's been good, though. It's been fun. So.
But you took biology as...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got a handle on it. It's not like time you've ever seen it.
No,
so.
it's a lot of review, but it's a lot of, you haven't looked at it in a couple of years, but I enjoy it, so I like doing it.
That's all right. That's
but you've learned it, but you've never taught it, so
exactly.
It's a different
It is very different, because you have to know every detail, plus more in case some kids ask questions, deep questions, and you're like, what? Yeah, he like.
Just, where did you come up with that?
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to say before you teach it, there will be no questions today.
Yeah, I should have said that as a disclaimer. Sorry.
Listen, all hands down. I don't want to see anybody ask questions.
No comments or questions.
Yeah, especially when I'm being evaluated. Hey?
If you've got a question, you can email me at some point.
Yeah.
I might get back to you.
Probably not. Then. No, it's been awesome. So.
Yeah, the other faculty has been, like you said, pretty supportive in terms of everything that's going on as well. You're finding a possible home there once school's done.
What do you mean,
like would that be
being a teacher?
Yes,
I'm hoping so. I've heard mixed things about like how many teaching jobs are available in different locations, so obviously I don't know exactly where I like will be in a couple years, but I'm definitely wanting to be a teacher, and I'm enjoying a lot of phys ed. FRC has unreal program. It's so different from when I was growing up and in high school, and you go in there, they have a gymnasium, and then go out the door hallway with a phys ed classroom by itself, so for all health, and you can do any cooking in there as well. They have a brand new multi-purpose room with mirrors surrounding the walls.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, so it's a studio room, so that's like where yoga is done, that's where table tennis is played. And as well, lots of different stuff, and then they have 30 brand new spin bikes in there, so it's amazing. And then go down the hallway further, and then there's a brand new fully loaded gym. Any equipment that you need, like anything from free weights to all the machines you could ask for, and then treadmills. It's an unreal facility. It's really like spoiling me, because it's like, okay, now I'll go to my next practicum school, and it's like, oh, like,
you're
you know,
nothing,
it's,
yeah,
it's gonna be way different, but it's nice. Yeah,
have the, and again, you can say no, you can defer the question if you want on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of the girls who you teach been like, oh, you play hockey, do you want to come and see us play? because Fort Richmond doesn't have a bad team. It's not like they're a terrible team. I mean,
Fort Richmond High School. Oh, well, okay. Yeah. So this year, I actually went to the first meeting to try to help out coaching, and then they
that didn't sound like it went well.
Well, it was hopefully going to go, and then but I don't think enough girls showed interest this year, so they actually don't have a team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for this season.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. This is from April of last year, mm-hmm. or April of this year, but of last season. Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, yeah, they don't have a team this year, which is actually pretty sad. But no, I think the guys' team is doing fairly well. I haven't actually got to watch a game there yet, but I just actually came from a basketball game. The JV girls, or sorry, the varsity girls are in a tournament at home this weekend. So,
oh, right on.
Yeah, they just won. So
good for them. Yeah. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we won't hit you up with any more tough questions in terms of your teaching career or anything like that. I'm going to take a quick 23-second break. We'll be back right after this. We'll get into all the other hockey stuff. We want your opinion on some of the stuff because there's a monster announcement that happened yesterday. I don't know if anybody caught it, but we'll talk about it. That will affect southern Manitoba-ish area. So we'll talk about that in a few seconds right after Legal ID here on 101.5 UMFM.
UMFM 101.5 broadcasts at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the original lands of the Anishinaabeg, Nahiwak, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation.
And we are back here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the hockey show, everybody. We are here. Beans, mm-hmm. Carissa Kirkup, star of the Manitoba Bisons with us on hand tonight. Fantastic to have her. There was a major announcement yesterday, one that will affect, I'm hoping, many teams in southern Manitoba because they want to be try and be part of it, but or at least players will be anyway. As it was announced by Hockey Canada that the towns of Morden and Winkler will host the 2019 National Women's Under 18 Championship for the first time ever in Manitoba. Thoughts on, I don't know how close you got when you were younger, but it seems to be a monster tournament every year where there's tons and tons of players who are going someplace, usually either to the NCAA or to U Sports, end up playing. Thoughts on the tournament? According to, again, Hockey Canada, according to what they say, it's like a $1.5 million windfall for these two towns in terms of hosting it. So it's a monster, monster tournament, tons of support and lots of stuff going on. Obviously, Morden held the SO Cup. We were just talking about it a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Had a successful tournament with that. Winkler has hosted all sorts of stuff, curling championships and Manitoba curling championships, the Scotties and whatever else. They've also hosted the Hockey Day in Canada. A couple of years back, they'll host an upcoming hometown hockey with Tara Sloan and Ron McLean coming up in March. So it's not like they're not on the national map as it is anyway, but thoughts on a monster tournament for Manitoba, really, when it comes to women's hockey? Either or. Go ahead.
It's about time.
Yeah! That's a good answer.
I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, those two cities don't like each other. How are they going to share? One's gonna complain about the other one getting too many Canada games. And
well, I'm certain that if they ever want to be considered again, they'll keep their squabbles to themselves.
They will keep
their
squabbles. I mean, great cities. They're two booming towns. They got lots of things happening, like you said. And, it's good for southern Manitoba, good for Manitoba in general.
Well, I mean, and we were just talking about Pembina Valley sending a player to Regina. Pembina Valley always has a strong team. The Hawks are always a good team. Mm-hmm. Janae came from the Janae Buchanan. It's Pembina Hawks player.
I think they send the midget team to the SO Cup.
They're usually one of, it's either them or Central Plains or one of those teams. I got the eye roll from the far end of the table. You all right over there? Didn't mean to bring up any ghosts and skeletons in the closet.
Were we lying? I don't know. Maybe we're lying.
No, just saying the last few years. Like, Carissa's long past that.
Yeah, she's long past that.
She's already in her teaching career. She's good. there's usually pretty good teams that come out of there in terms of getting everything going. So, I don't know. I think this is going to be good for the community, good for hockey in Manitoba in terms of generating a little bit of support as well. Because, I mean, let's be honest, it's not the most supported sport when it comes to amateur sports in Manitoba right now. Women's hockey sometimes doesn't even make the radar when it comes to amateur sports and support. So, knock on wood, maybe we'll get a ton of people out to see this, but all I know is I'll probably end up living in Morden and Winkler for a week.
I was going to say, maybe we can go down and...
I'm sure. I'm going to see if there's going to be some media credentials.
I live halfway there already, so...
That's true. You do. You're almost there.
That's not a long drive for
you. You're almost there.
Yeah, no, I think that's very exciting. I think Manitoba needs to do more of this. Obviously, I'm sure they try, but it's difficult with the per capita and everything like that. But I know there's always a couple girls from Manitoba that kind of make it, and I don't know how exactly the numbers work there. But
Reagan Kirk going this year from Eastman, so she'll be on Team Canada's under 18 team this year. Okay. So good for her. Congratulations to her. Mm-hmm. She's the only Manitoban going, surprisingly. But
yeah, there's always, I don't know, growing up, especially around my age group, there was, just because I'm a little less familiar with a lot of the younger girls now. But
that's fine, yeah.
But yeah, no, I especially around my age group, I know there's always a ton of girls that could have had a shot there. And yeah, it just depends on numbers and what they're looking for that year. So no, I think it's an awesome opportunity for girls to see some women's hockey, especially younger girls, and going to watch and trying to maybe make that their dream growing up and stuff like that. So yeah.
If you're, and again, if you are looking for sort of a lead into that, not that this has to be a lead in, but if you're sort of looking for a lead into that tournament to get sort of, I'm going to say, accentuated with some of the teams, sort of get to know some of the teams. Big opportunity coming up as well in January and February, January 31st to February 3rd, if you haven't heard the announcement. The 2019 Female World Sports School Challenge will happen at the Bell MTS Iceplex, 16 teams. And we're talking 16 insane, like, this is going to be crazy fun teams to get things going.
Yeah, doubled it up from the last few years.
Not only doubled it up, but they legitimately opened it up. It's not only sports schools now. It is AAA and sports schools from across Canada. And there's a couple of U.S. teams in there as well.
Wow.
So if you're looking to get in on that, folks, it'll happen from the 31st to the 3rd at the Iceplex. I can tell you, they haven't released the information entirely yet, but I can tell you that there's a team from Anchorage, Alaska coming. There's also a team from Minnesota. Gentry Academy is coming back as well.
Yep.
They finished second last year. Obviously, St. Mary's is going to be there. They're hosting it. They won last year. If you're looking for something fun, we will carry all the games on UMFM except for two. Those two will be on the St. Mary's Academy stream. Reason being is that we have Bison Women's Hockey that weekend, so they will take center stage.
There's a lot of games, though.
There's a lot of games. It starts on Thursday at around noon. So teams from Ontario, Ancaster, Avalanche, Thunder Bay Queens, who we have two incoming players joining the Bisons from that team. The Calgary Fire will be out there. Central Plains Capitals will be out there. Eastman Selects, Northern Alberta Extreme, who Aaron Fargy, if you're following the team this year, that's where she's from. She played with them. The Winnipeg Avros, who we have a handful of players from on the Bisons. Lloydminster, the Steelers are out there, where Maddie Cole played in terms of her previous stop. Kimberley Academy from BC coming all the way in. And then, like I said, Anchorage is going to be there, as well as Gentry Academy. There are a handful of teams that aren't going to be there, but we will have 10 of the 16 teams on the UMFM stream. So you'll be able to hear that the entire week that it's happening. I believe I will be out there calling it, as well as somebody else hopefully will be joining me. The Friday night banner game, for those of you who aren't aware of this whole thing, the Friday night banner game is when we will have our own stream on for the Bison Women's Hockey. But we are part of this whole sort of change where the banner game will feature St. Mary's versus Anchorage in terms of that sort of Friday night big game. Stands are always full. If you're going to get there early because they fill that entire area. If you can't get there, listen to the stream that's going to be on the World Sports School Challenge page, because they're going to have two young ladies from St. Mary's calling that game. We have worked hard with St. Mary's to try and get more and more women into the sports broadcasting area. If you can't play, at least you can call the game. Which is what we tell ourselves every week. I'm not going to lie. That's the truth. But we're happy to have St. Mary's involved again in terms of offering up play-by-play and color commentary for two students who are going to call that game, which will be super fun. So we'll have every game, including the gold medal game on Sunday, available. Well, not every game, sorry. We'll have a pile of games. But the gold medal game on Sunday at 10 a.m. in the morning will be on UMFM second stream on the internet stream. So make sure you tune into that if you want to hear the gold medal game again. It should be fun. Should be another great, great tournament. We had an incredible time there last year. We will, Beans and I will, on the 31st, be down there to do a live remote broadcast of the hockey show. So if you want to come see how we mess things up, by all means, drop by.
Just got to listen to us at 5:30, 6:30.
You already know.
Every Thursday.
Exactly. You already know if you're already listening to that point. So if you need to get in there, so if you want to get in and sort of see these teams prior to them getting to the hopefully some of these players prior to getting to the National Women's Under 18 Championship, this is where you'll see a lot of them play, because there's going to be a number of them playing at that tournament next year. So
it's good hockey.
It's fantastic. Fantastic hockey, and happy to have that here in Winnipeg every year. It's an outstanding tournament. So, again, January 31st, February 3rd at the Bell MTS Iceplex. You can hit the World Sports School Challenge website if you have questions or if you're interested. That's www.fwssc.ca, basically the first letter of all the words in female World Sports School Challenge.
Makes sense.
There you go. So that's happening, which will be fun. So two big tournaments coming. One happens every year. One never seems to happen here, which is always good. I do want to talk about, and you guys might have seen this, on Tuesday, NHL decided to introduce some brand new technology to the game. Chris is shaking her head, no, like, I don't know what you're talking about. On Tuesday, the NHL decided that they're going to, in association with PPG Paints, will put color-changing silk screening on the back of their pucks to be used at the Winter Classic so that they know when they're too bouncy, that basically they're no longer frozen. They will change color. The screening will change color from purple to clear once the pucks are too warm to be played with outside.
So then they stop the game in the middle of it.
And no, the next stoppage of play, they'll swap out the puck. Yeah. You know how it works. But here's the thing.
Okay.
They've talked a lot about how they want to use this technology in the future. Where else would you use this technology?
You could use it at the outdoor game that's going to be played at Bemidji in January.
So that's true. In fact, they may test it there. I wouldn't be surprised if
it's Minnesota Hockey Day.
If they take it to Minnesota, because I mean the Wild are heavily involved. So yeah,
I don't know where else.
Figuring out when Bruce Boudreau has had enough. Oh wait, his face already does.
Yeah, he's colors. Already angry at that.
That's
so.
Right. It does go from white to red. Sorry.
So the question becomes, if these are single-use pucks, because again, they're going to get shot out of the rink and probably put up for, you can buy one on the site and everything like that. You're never going to use it indoors, number one, because...
So it's going to say the same color.
It may not, sure. But there is a ton of stuff that could affect the color of the paint. Like if you're skating from end to end and you have the puck in your hand as an official, do you have to flip it over so that you don't affect the paint? Because, now I've... change the paint color to swap it out.
Even friction does cause.
Well, they said that that was one of the concerns they had was the adhesion factor. They didn't want to make sure they wanted to make sure the puck still slid the same way. And they said that's all been taken care of. That's fine. But it's a black puck, and if you're playing in a sunny, warmer day, you're going to be swapping out those pucks like on every stoppage.
That's a moneymaker for PPG.
But it's not,
they're
though.
Ready. They're ready. They're going to make a lot of pucks.
You're just silk screening. It's just a little tiny bit of... They don't even make the pucks. They only make the paint for it.
Well, you know how much a pail of paint of that paint would be?
Not very much, to be honest.
You don't think so?
This technology's been around since 1991.
Yeah, but now, but now it's
that.
Useful. Now it's useful. And now they're going to charge an arm and a leg.
So
for
here's
it.
The thing. If
it's like everything else.
Coors Light, who's a main sponsor of the NHL, has been using this on their can since 2010. And this is the first time the NHL's thought of it?
And what are the prices of beer like nowadays?
Well, games are awful, but yeah. I mean, you can't do anything about that.
Has it been a big problem in the past where they get unfrozen all the time?
I think the issue is that if they're playing in a warmer climate, like when they played in Washington and then they were playing in the, and it was kind of, they're kind of bouncing, or like pucks were bouncing around and stuff or whatever, but again, I don't understand why you can't just trust your officials to go, you know what, that puck's bouncing around, let's swap it out.
You're getting paid a lot of money, and you're a professional linesman or a referee. You probably know these things without seeing a color of a puck. So,
Again, if you have to flip over the puck to find out if it's still good or not, you're probably not a very good official.
More of an objective measure, I guess.
See, I say that every game when I play.
Well,
puck's too bouncy, ref. We need a new one here.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're talking about technology that's been around forever, and the NHL just finally goes, you know what? You know what?
Here's an idea.
Here's a new.
Let's see if this works. But again, you can't use it anywhere but outdoor games. I don't understand why you would bring it in at this point before going, and especially when you're playing games that are in warmer climates. Like if you went to LA when they played the Stadium Series, or Denver where the ice was melting, or any of the other places that they're talking about putting it, you literally get one chance with one puck, and then you have to swap it out again.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just pop it back into the cooler and hope it refreezes. It doesn't. So on average, if you use 12 pucks, according to NHL statistics, they use 12 pucks per game. How often are you going to have to swap this out if it's too bouncy?
Quite a few, probably.
Which goes to asking, do we really need this?
What they need is to bring the color stream behind again on TV.
The Fox Tracks puck? Is that what you're talking about? Those pucks were $50,000 a shot, man. I don't think they're going to spend that kind of money again.
Well, we'll see, I guess.
It's the NHL, man. They don't like to spend money on anything. They barely even like...
Make a ton, but not spending a ton.
No, that's how
you become rich.
Well, they claim millions of dollars in profit every year, so yeah. That's how you stay rich. Down the way, I'm not sure if you guys saw this either. Down the way, Manitoba's now got its first ever... I say that in 2018, December of 2018, Manitoba has its first ever all-accessible rink at Dakota Community Center.
Wow.
I saw that on the, I think CTV News did a thing on it. So
first ever in December of 2018.
Well.
Wow. That makes me really happy, actually, because I've taken many classes and talked about it a ton.
Yeah.
Right? And you, just for example, different rinks you going through in the city and, either the elevator, well, either they don't have ramps to get up there or they don't have an elevator that actually works or... Lots of different stuff, and I've had my own grandparents, go try to come to games and maybe can't quite get up the stairs or they have to show up super early in comparison to everyone else, or, that's a huge step, I think.
If they show up and they're having problems, tell them to come find me. I'll make sure they get to a seat.
Garrett,
I'm dead serious. I will make sure they get to their seat comfortably.
Okay, thank you.
So was it Garrett Westlake? Is that his name?
Greg Westlake was here. I spoke to a friend of the show, Billy Bridges, about it. He's excited. He's come. Apparently, him and Sammy are coming in for holidays again. In terms of coming back
home. Love Billy. Love Sammy.
They're gonna come in, and he is thoroughly excited about this new rink, which is awesome. Gonna bring his gear. Gonna get out there and play. He said, but I'm shocked that it's taken till December of 2018 to come up with a rink that we can use. And I know there's retrofitting and you got to change some stuff and get everything going.
Mm-hmm.
But I am shocked with how prevalent sledge hockey is nowadays that it's taken this long to get a rink set up for and only one.
Yeah.
We're not talking about across the city. We're talking about one rink in the city that has this ability now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean sled hockey has become, I would say, over the past few years, past two Olympics, Paralympics, has become quite popular.
Sure, yeah.
It's
far more popular than what it was.
Maybe it's taken a while here. I mean, I don't know how about any other cities.
There's a big contingent here. I know they play at the Iceplex. There's a group that plays at the Iceplex that works at the Iceplex. There's a group that plays at Civic Center, St. James Civic Center.
Okay.
I'm sure there's groups that play other places as well.
For sure.
But you think about that and you go, we've had this for a while. And why can't we get this set up or whatever? And especially looking at, when you hear, and again, I watched the Para Cup, the Canadian Tire Para Cup this past weekend in the gold medal game where Canada and the U.S. played. And they were talking about guys like Billy Bowden's been playing now for, or Brad Bowden, excuse me, he's been playing now for, he's 32. He's been playing for 16 years. And I go, wait a minute. That's half his life, and he's never had a chance to play. I mean, maybe he's had a chance to play outdoors where he's from, but if he came to Winnipeg, he'd never have a chance to play outdoors. How are we missing the boat on this? Especially when you're, what you were saying, Carissa, with, accessibility all over the city is kind of a low priority, it seems, sometimes for a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That's awesome, though, to hear, because I have volunteered or worked at Sammy Joe Small's hockey camp, actually, for a few years. And I met Billy there. He's always, the happiest guy there. And he's an awesome guy and obviously a great person and a great sledge hockey player. So I'm happy to hear that, right? It's difficult just because I know a lot of people, that's not their reality every single day. So maybe lots of people don't think about it on a daily basis, right? But for those who that is their reality every single day, right? It's a huge step in the right direction, I would say. And it's about time as well for that. So cool.
Does he force you to get into the sled and play when
Good
time with it, eh?
He took his blade and smashed it into my sled. And then, so I fell over. And obviously, I had no idea how to get up. So, someone come help me, please. But no, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I know. We were there last year for the school. And man, he put on a display. So
he's a cool guy. And they have a kid now, like a couple years older.
Kenzie,
it's awesome.
Yeah, no, last time he was here, when he was here in studio, Sammy and Kenzie were out there playing. Cool. So it was nice to see everybody and talk to everybody. And it was good. So
yeah, I actually just saw them. They were here training with Sport Canada.
Yes.
They always come to the ALC whenever they do. So I just happened to walk by him and he's waving. So I went in there and said hi to him.
He always ends up working at the working out at the gym when he's here over the holidays. So it's nice to see. He might have another place he can go work out now if he wants to get on the back onto the rink
and
skate around
cool.
Push around now. So nice to see that. Congratulations, Dakota Community Center. Nice to see that that's finally happening, and hopefully there'll be more places across Manitoba that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Want to have some fun. We have the last 10 minutes here. ESPN went out. The Outside the Lines group went out and they reviewed food safety inspection reports for all 111 North American pro sports venues to find out who's gross and who's not. It's interesting. They reviewed and collected more than 16,000 food inspection reports from health departments that monitored the 111 professional football, baseball, basketball, and hockey facilities across North America. The review of the routine inspection reports from 2016-2017 found that about 28% of the venues, half or more of the food service outlets, incurred a high-level violation at some point in those 2 years. Not good.
Doesn't surprise me.
Not good.
No.
Of the worst of the worst, thankfully, is not Bell MTS Center. Bell MTS Center is not the worst. I'll go through a couple of bad ones here. Spectrum Center got the worst. They were ranked the worst, although there were four, and I will say this. Spectrum may not be the worst, only because there were four that didn't provide enough information. That would be Capital One Arena in Washington, where the Capitals play, Toyota Center in Houston, where the Houston Rockets play, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which is where the Falcons play, and the Bell Center in Montreal did not provide enough information. So there's only 107 total that they're ranking them on, but those four essentially got the bottom ranking because they didn't have enough information.
That's like declining a breathalyzer when you're getting pulled
pretty much.
Over.
Like if you don't want to, if you're not willing to provide some reports,
pretty much you're going to the drunk tank. Is pretty much what they're saying.
So the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, was the worst ranked 107 out of 107 venues.
Really, Carolina's got great barbecue.
On December 20th, 2016. Inspectors noticed beer leaking from the ceiling in the bar area in the front court restaurant and bar.
That's like a special. That's like a feature of that place. Bar is leaking to the roof. You don't have to pay for it. You just walk under it.
I'm not certain I want what's in it, though. That's the only thing. On February 3rd, 2016, inspectors saw multiple bartender stations with no options to place cocktail garnishes without touching them by hand. That bartenders were essentially putting limes, putting whatever into garnishes without any sort of...
I've seen it everywhere, honestly.
But this is one of four priority violations during that day.
Okay.
At a couple inspections on March 16, 2016, inspectors noted that throughout the arena, quote, there has been consistent failure to properly document when food should be cooked, served, or discarded.
I just
leftovers.
I'm a little cringy right now because
this violation. This violation was noted in capital letters on all inspections.
You got 4 days to eat leftovers. So if there's a game 4 days later,
here's the thing.
They're serving that
if
food?
You're going to go to the Hornets game in Charlotte, don't eat anything. Don't buy anything. You can go to
Bring
the game. You can go to the game. Just don't buy anything from the concession stands. That's not so good.
I know my parents would be cringing right now. They took over Tim Hortons and the amount of food handling stuff you need
that's,
to know.
That's good, though, that they're getting.
Oh, I know. But
Palace of Auburn Hills, which is now closed, came in at 106. The worst hockey rink? Anyone want to take a shot?
Worst
what city?
Rink.
It houses the basketball team as well. NBA and NHL share this rink.
I have no clue.
It was built in 2001, so it's fairly new.
2001.
Take a shot. They're in our division. I'll even narrow it down for you. There's only six other teams it could be.
Colorado?
Incorrect.
Minnesota?
Incorrect.
Oh, man, I'm just going to go through them all. Dallas.
Dallas is the worst NHL arena. They rank in at 105th. They're awful.
I'd still eat the food, though.
Hold on. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Usually hungry.
Here it comes. June 3rd, 2016. Inspectors saw insects around the bar area at one location and asked that pest control treat drains in the facility. Didn't happen.
Fruit flies.
On December 20th.
That's where they come from.
On December 27, 2016, inspectors noted that an ice machine was contaminated and suggested that the vendor unplug it, empty it, clean it, and sanitize it as soon as possible. Didn't happen.
Contaminated with what?
That could be anything. Mold, people reaching in with their bare hands, anything.
Ebola.
On February 24, 2016... inspectors during a routine inspection found moldy strawberries in a kitchen that were being served.
Oh, being served. See, that wouldn't be at my house. those strawberries get checked through before we buy them.
So Dallas. The
moldy ones get tossed.
Thanks for coming. Have a nice day. Winnipeg Jets, if you're interested, ranked 18th or the fifth best NHL team.
Wow. Good job.
So
new chats could be coming the way of the MTS Center when Dallas comes to town.
Of the worst things that happened, inspectors noted two critical violations, at one for food service outlet, one for refrigerated pasta not being cold enough, and one for cheese sauce not being hot enough. So there was some concern there. Inspectors noted the West ice machine had mold and a microwave needed to be cleaned at another inspection. And on the same day, inspectors at one location noticed that the hand washing basin was actually located under the cash register so that the food service people couldn't wash their hands.
Well, just wash your hands as you're dealing money. Money is like the dirtiest thing.
Exactly.
See, and I know, being in the trades, is that you leave these little nuggets for inspectors to find so that they don't find the big ones.
So, I'm going to say right now,
right on,
I'm
going to
say right now, I don't ever want to hear that again.
Sorry.
The number one place, Oracle Arena, where the Golden State Warriors play.
That's why there's championships come out of that place.
The biggest complaint they had, equipment and utensils used to prepare food were not clean enough. Not bad. Not bad. State Farm Arena, which is next, that hosts that's the arena that the Atlanta Hawks play in, the former home that the Jets would have played in. They were number two. So good on them. The top ranking, Gillette Stadium came in number five for you people who hate the Patriots.
That's something else you can hate about them.
I'm not saying anything else.
Really good.
Texans are third. Bradley Center, which is closed now, is for the Bucks used to play, was fourth. Trying to see what surprisingly, is this right? This can't be right. Let me just find out a little about this. Because the top NHL, I wouldn't have guessed this to be the top place in the NHL.
Why?
Apparently it is. The Prudential Center in New Jersey is the number one place.
Why wouldn't you think that?
I don't, the first thing I think about when I think about the Devils is I don't think cleanliness.
Just New Jersey in general, you don't think of cleanliness.
And I'm not sure, okay, and I'm
Chris
not.
Chris Christie is
hold
the governor.
Hold on, and I'm not sure how you end up number one when one of the major violations that they suspected, and again, we're talking about the sixth best arena in North America. I'm not sure how you get to be sixth best when on December 14th, 2017, inspectors found mouse droppings on shelves at the West Club stand.
Oh. Didn't find the mice, though, I bet.
That was rated as a
that was rated the big one.
That was rated as a lower level violation.
What? In comparison to the strawberries.
That's correct.
Mouse droppings are quite
Gila River
dangerous.
Arena, which is in Glendale. Their worst. Holy, I would have. Oh, that's pretty bad. Never mind.
it's pretty bad.
Tray of hot dogs measured at temperatures slightly below 135 degrees. Okay, no big deal. Inspectors found an accumulation of brown matter in quotes on soda nozzles. An employee then cleaned them. And then the worst one, inspectors found containers of salsa, shredded cabbage, and shredded cheese sitting out at temperatures around 50 degrees above the requirement of 41 degrees or lower. How does that rank lower than most droppings at
a little bit warmer food than it's supposed to be?
I think there's some inconsistency in who's ranking this. United Center in Chicago was third in the NHL. BB&T Center surprisingly in Florida was number four. And then we ranked it at number five. So
you have different inspectors for different things, and they rank things maybe a little bit different.
I don't know. I don't know who's marking this up, but
I think either way, I'd probably put the mouse in.
Your question about
at number one.
Your question about Colorado? Colorado was second worst in the NHL.
Oh yeah.
They ranked 101st out of 117. So there you go. Yeah. A little bit of fun. If you want to check that out, folks, it's on ESPN.com. I have it linked on Hockey Blog in Canada as well. You can go there and check it out. A lot of craziness in there. Depending on where you're going to vacation next, you might want to avoid the sports options that you have there. Or at least don't eat there. That would be the key. Don't eat there.
Go out for supper before the game.
Exactly. Get something to eat away from the rink. That would be a good idea. Carissa, we're almost out of time here. We're going to let you have the floor, though. Anything you want to promote before we let you get out of here? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to get people out to? Anything you want to have... Besides the January games against Alberta where we want to crush them.
Yep, I do. Okay, so for our Christmas hampers, obviously you can contact me or anyone off the Bison Women's Hockey team if you are able or willing to donate any items for our Christmas hampers this year. It will have to be in the next week or sooner, just because we are hoping to have the hampers out at least by next Wednesday. So that would be amazing if you could do that.
Specifically, if you don't know anybody off that team, contact Lisa Tinley. Her information's on the GoBisons.ca website. Okay. Lisa would be probably the best person to talk to.
Yes, I would say so, and then she'll direct from there. That would be awesome. As well, we need as many people out as possible to our games against U of A. It'll be a very tough series for us. Alberta's very good hockey team, so we're really looking forward to that series and in a tough one right after the break. So those will be good games to come out and watch. As well, Bellet's Talk Day is actually coming up in January. It's happening on January 25th, and it's actually a men's home hockey that weekend. We're in Lethbridge, I believe.
I think so, yeah. Sounds right.
And then the actual Bellet's Talk Day is on January 30th. So obviously we will be putting out lots of stuff on social media in and around that time as well. But it's a very important initiative and obviously very prevalent in today's world, talking about... taking away the stigma against mental health and everything around that topic. Very, very important. And especially me, just on a personal note, just heading into different schools and becoming a teacher, right? I see it more and more, and I know that it's affecting more people than everyone thinks. So that's very important to get involved in as well. So, and then leading into February, just coming out and supporting your team for playoffs. It'll be obviously we're hoping to obviously crack the top half of the Going into playoffs and hoping to keep or increase our spot, right? So, yeah, it'll be another exciting year, another exciting round of playoffs, and I'm really excited.
Nothing like a title defense to rev everybody up for the second half and chance to go to Charlottetown to play in a little Nationals again. So no, let's get everybody out.
Regardless, it's going to be a fun second half, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
We can't thank you enough, Carissa. Again, doors always open if you want to come by and promote anything. Obviously, Bell Let's Talk, if you want to come by and promote that. The 31st, obviously, we're going to be at the Bell MTS Iceplex, but we will be talking lots about that in terms of that whole weekend as well.
Okay.
So we'll have that on the show. If you want to come on anytime before that, you're more than welcome to. As always, we can't thank you enough. You are fantastic, and we're looking forward to seeing you light the lamp a little more in the second half, too.
Oh, no, thank you again very much for having me. I always enjoy coming on the show, and you guys are awesome, so thank you very much.
You're doing most of the job for us, so thanks for being awesome, too. Beans, we're out of here for another week. Anything you want to say before we get out of here as the vaccines come in?
We talk about trade trackers and draft trackers. The best kind of tracker out there, Domino's tracker. I'm watching my pizza being tracked right now.
Oh, geez.
Paul is making my pizza. Thank you, Paul.
With that, we are out of here for another week. Let Beans get home and have some pizza. Here on The Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM.